It is that most wonderful time of the day, week, when, month, when we get to talk to the food maven himself, the man himself, Arthur Schwartz. Hello,
Here
Arthur.
Here I am. Here I am.
So happy. So happy.
Oh, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, good. We're all together now. All together.
I was just going to say, one of us is going to sing. It's going to be you.
Well, I don't have a voice. It's interesting because I used to. I don't even sing in key anymore, you know. But anyway, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to say it's about time we turned on the oven and braised. It is braising season. What is a braise? Well, I'm going to do braising 101 now because it's a technique, not a recipe.
Right.
Although I'm happy to offer a recipe. As well, a braised meat recipe. We usually use braising. Well, let me define it first. Braise is when you brown the meat. It's almost always meat. You can make braised poultry too, but let's just say it's meat. You brown the meat over high heat, often in a little bit of oil, and then you cook it in a moist atmosphere, meaning the moisture, the liquid, does not have to cover the meat. In fact, it does not, but it does provide the moisture you need to tenderize these otherwise chewy cuts of meat. I'll tell you what they are in a minute. And that's it. And then you cook it slowly in a wet atmosphere, and that's a braise. If you covered the meat with a liquid, you would be making stew. Stew
right.
doesn't necessarily have to be browned first, but usually it is these days. Usually it is, period. Now, the braising comes in with lesser cuts of meat. You do not want to braise a rib steak or filet mignon.
True.
Or a shell steak. No.
Yep.
You want to braise cuts that are a little tough, just to be frank. And braising tenderizes them. Now, these would be shanks of lamb shanks, beef shanks. I do make a recipe with beef shank. Veal shank, that's ossobuco, called ossobuco. It's an Italian word, means bone whole, because it's got a... The shank is cut into thick slices, and it exposes the marrow bone that's in the middle. And did I say short ribs? Short ribs are very tough and really need long cooking. Now, I grew up eating a version of short ribs. We called it flanken. I had a laugh the other day when I went shopping for flanken. I found that they also were calling it these days Korean short ribs.
You're kidding.
So, no, because I got to tell you, Korean short ribs are a lot more popular than my grandmother's sweet and sour flanken. If you want to make Korean short ribs, they're cut rather thin, and they're usually sort of meaty, actually, whereas I find that flanken is often not really the best short ribs. I don't know which end of the rib it is from, but when I see flanken, by the way, is short ribs cut across the bone as opposed to the same direction as the bone. A short rib will have a rib in it and the meat and a lot of fat. Flanken will have five, six bones cut in across the slice of meat, and we call that flanken. It's a Yiddish-German word, as I said, Korean short ribs these days. So those to me are the main things to braise. You don't need more than five or six different meats. Oh, you know what? A lot of people braise beef, of course, and what you want in that case would be a thick chuck roast, either, you know, a big slice of, like 2-inch thick slice of chuck, or sometimes a boneless rolled roast. You see what your butcher has. It sort of doesn't matter. It's beef. It's chuck. And what you want in all of these meats is the ability to cook slowly and become very tender, but also they provide a lot of flavor, even though in a braise you get to add flavor. So let's see, where do you want me to start, Jill? Which meat? All right, I'm going to start with lamb shanks.
Okay.
Lamb shanks are relatively, well, let me say that no meat is inexpensive these days. So even though these used to be called, thrifty meats, and people would say, oh, you got to braise them to make them tender, nowadays they're really luxury items. I mean, short ribs, and considering that there's a lot of fat and a big rib in there, are pretty expensive. Shanks, depending on the animal, can be pretty expensive. I find that Americans don't know what to do, really, with beef shanks. I have Puerto Rican friends who cook them, but that's the only people I know who cook beef shanks. I cook them Italian style in a dish called pepozo, which is with a lot of peppercorns, as the name indicates, and red wine, good, strong red wine, and bay leaf, and it gets braised.
Yum.
Big chunks. But anyway, back to, where were we? Oh, lamb shanks. So lamb shanks, like almost all the braises, I always start with, let's call it in the French word, mirepoix, which is carrot, onion, celery, all diced or chopped fine, and then cooked together. I usually do equal parts with maybe more onion than carrot and celery. Let's say I'm going to make four nice-sized lamb shanks. I would probably use a half a cup of onion, which is a half of a medium onion, one carrot, half a cup of diced carrot. One onion, one medium onion, a whole cup. One half cup of carrot, one half cup of celery.
Or use both?
Pardon me?
Do you ever substitute with shallots or use both?
Well, I use shallots a lot, but
okay.
Not in that case. I want the stronger taste of a good yellow onion.
Okay.
I once made ossobuco, a Tuscan recipe with red onions, and to me it was insipid because it was just too sweet from the red onions. But anyway, back to onion, a cup, half a cup of carrot, half a cup of celery, saute the, and a nice clove of garlic chopped up, and saute it all in a little butter, a couple tablespoons of butter, apart from the meat. The meat, I would take my cast iron skillet and brown the lamb shanks over high heat. A little bit of neutral oil in the pan will get it going. But usually they render off enough of their own fat that once it starts going, And usually I always say there are three sides to a lamb shank. I don't know why I say that. They're sort of conical. So, but brown them on all sides and take them out of the skillet once they get brown and put them in the same pot that you sautéed the carrot, onion, celery. And now you have to make a choice. A lot of choices, by the way, when you braise. First, you have to decide what meat am I going to braise. Then you have to decide what fat am I going to use. In this case, I just told you to use some neutral oil just to brown the meat. Not a lot, just to skim the bottom of the pan. And then butter for the vegetables. And then you have to decide what liquid you're going to use. Now, you could use wine, red or white, depending on what you're cooking. Beer, I do love, by the way, using Guinness as a liquid when I'm braising beef. Broth. Now, I'm not making beef broth these days, but I do make very good chicken broth. And if I was cooking a veal, I would use my chicken broth. In the case of the lamb shanks, I tend to go out and buy some beef broth. Now, there are so many choices to make about beef broth these days. I see that a lot of companies are marketing their broth as bone broth. And what does that mean? That means that they cooked it long enough with bones that the collagen from the bones thickened the broth And in fact, that broth, if chilled, would be jellied with its own gelatin, collagen, actually.
What we used to call jelly consomme.
But if you buy just what I have been using for 1,000 years, Swanson or collagen beef broth, which they do make, by the way, beef broth that is not beef-flavored broth, which you see in the store also. I never buy that. What they're using to flavor it as beef. But those two companies I just mentioned do make real beef broth. But it's thin. It's for cooking. It's not for using as soup. Bone broth I could have. It has texture, you know. So I could actually have it for its own sake. That's the difference, folks. Nowadays, there is a difference. And I make chicken. My chicken is a bone broth in that I cook it 6 to 7 hours. So by then, after it's been skimmed and chilled, it's really an aspic. Anyway, put in half of so there's the broth. And then there's always water, you know.
I'm a big fan.
Of water. I'm a big fan of water as well. If you have a little wine left over,
dump it
in a bottle. You can throw that in and deglaze the pan that you cook the meat in.
Yep.
Because all the little stuff that developed in the bottom of the pan should be put into your braise. So add that. And then add whatever liquid you're going to use till it covers the shanks about halfway. I also like, when I'm making lamb shanks, I also like to take some of the liquid that I'm going to use and beat it up with a little tomato paste. Then herbs, of course. I'm big on dried thyme, especially with lamb. A bay leaf or two. What else? Oh, parsley. If you happen to have some parsley stems, it is a good thing to put in. Make sure they're tied up so they don't get all over the place. And usually I have... My store actually does tie them up. I cut off the tops and I have stems already tied up. So you put all that in and bring it to a simmer on top of the stove. And then I like to put it in the oven. Now, in the old days, the beauties of a braise was that you could cook it on top of the stove. This is in the days when people didn't have good ovens, efficient ovens you could afford to put on without great expense. But nowadays, most of us have very efficient gas stoves or even electric stoves. And in that case, I would put my braise in at 300 degrees, and it's going to take 3 to 4 hours. If you do it on top of the stove, for one thing, you have to watch it all the time because you don't want it to the liquid to simmer down too much. Anyway, put it in the oven. Covered, 300 degrees, you can't go wrong. No matter what meat it is, actually.
Yep.
Lamb shanks, beef shank, whatever the short ribs, whatever long-cooked meat you want to cook, cook it long. Don't speed it up, because what happens is when you cook these proteins at high temperature, they toughen. That's when you get stringy meat. So,
but it also
did I cover all? Did I cover fat? Make a choice. Seasonings, make a choice. Liquid, make a choice. And then, of course, what meat you're going to cook is you're going to make a choice. So, Bob happens to ask. He doesn't ask for much, but he does ask more frequently than for most things: sweet and sour flanken. Now, this is, by the way, that there is a recipe for sweet and sour flanken in my book, Jewish Home Cooking, because it is one of the things that we used to eat when I was a kid. I don't know. My mother and my grandmother, the two cooks in the house, loved sweet and sour. My sister ended up loving sweet and sour, too. My sister loved the sweet and sour meat from a tzimis, but that's another show, another time of the year. Let me see here. And by the way, I said last week I'm on keto, which I am. Unfortunately, all these braises deserve mashed potatoes. which I'm not eating. But I did make the other day the fake mashed potatoes, the cauliflower mashed potatoes. You know about this, Jill?
Yeah, you talked about it.
Yeah, I've talked about it before. In fact,
last week.
Well, I made it again because we like it. We like it for its own sake. But if you have anything with gravy, and you're on a low carb diet, it's the perfect thing to put on your
diet.
I would
take a hiatus and have the mashed potatoes, but that's me.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is rice. Some of these go very, very well with rice. The sauce on some of them would be very nice on noodles. But, you know, they sort of cry out for a carb. And the one that really cries out for a carb, and I'm going to make it this week and see if I can eat it without the essential carb, we'll see, is ossobuco. I do love ossobuco, and I've been seeing very nice ossobuco is the Italian word for a cross-section of a veal leg that has, and it's called ossobuco, meaning a bone hole, because it exposes the round marrow bone in the middle of the leg, and so that's why it's called ossobuco. That, by the way, when you cook it, you can scoop out that marrow and eat it and discover why people rave about eating marrow. But anyway, it's very easy to make a great ossobuco, but the carb that goes with it is a risotto. It's one of the few dishes that I know of in Italian cuisine, from the Alps down to Sicily, that actually has a carbohydrate, a rice, a pasta, or something like that, as part of the dish, almost. Mm-hmm. In this case, you're braising veal shanks with what's called in Italian a battuto, a mirepoix in French. And I would use, again, more onion than the carrot and celery. Let's say a cup of onion, that's a medium onion, a half a cup of carrots, a half a cup of celery, a clove of garlic, saute it like we just did for the lamb shanks. But in this case, in the other pan, you're going to have these veal shanks. Now, they do take up a lot of space. And so when I make this, I brown the meat in my cast iron skillet. I put the mirepoix or the batuta, or sofrito is another word for that mixture. I put that on the bottom of a roasting pan. And then I can put my veal shanks in one layer. You don't want to stack them up. You want them in one layer on top of the vegetables after you've browned them. Salt, pepper, of course. I usually dredge my veal shanks in flour, making sure to dust off any excess flour. And it does help make a thicker sauce, but
right,
not a starchy sauce. So you brown the meat, and I do that in olive oil, by the way. There's my fat choice. And once the meat has been brown, throw in a cup of white wine, or if I don't have any open, I'll usually use vermouth, maybe a half a cup of vermouth, just enough to deglaze or scrape up the brown bits on the bottom of the pan, and then add some chicken broth and I would say a half teaspoon at least of dried thyme and a couple bay leaves, and I use canned tomatoes in this. Don't use fresh tomatoes. In fact, the canned tomatoes have a certain consistency that fresh tomatoes won't give you. But do drain them if they're not in a thick puree. Usually these days, most tomatoes come in a thick puree. You only need a couple of cups of tomatoes. This is not a tomato sauce. And then put that all in the oven. I would say at 350 in this case, until it starts cooking, and then reduce it down to 300 after maybe a half an hour. And that's it. Keep going for a couple of hours until the meat is fork tender. And the sauce is self-creating in the pan there. And if you want, though, you can mash up the vegetables into the sauce, make like a puree. As a sauce. I don't really like to do it myself. I like to leave it chunky. And then, on top of that, this is an essential seasoning. It's called gremolata. And it's a mixture of grated lemon peel, chopped garlic, and chopped parsley, and arrange your osobuco on a platter, put your vegetable sauce on top, and then sprinkle it with very fragrant, gotta say, and delicious and attractive gremolata, yellow lemon peel, chopped garlic, and parsley. That gets served with a risotto milanese, which is seasoned with saffron. But I don't know. Got to try this without a carb.
So I used to be a big ossobuco-er, and one day I ate very often with risotto because I'm also a big risotto-er. I obviously I'm working for the Mashed Potatoes Commission because I once tried it with mashed potatoes. It was great.
Yeah, that would be great. Terrific.
So, here we go.
Let's face it, anything with mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Especially, I'm feeling so carb deprived today that any carb actually would suit me.
Sorry, but yeah.
I am going shopping later, too, so I don't know. I might end up breaking down, but we'll see. Meantime, we're losing weight. Got to say, in the first week, we lost a good amount of water weight. We'll see what goes on in the second week. Usually things slow down or stop the second week, but we'll see.
Got to do what you got to do.
Unfortunately, I got to do it. I wish I didn't have this body, but, you know, I don't dwell on it.
You've got the body you have.
And I've had it for a long time, so I know it pretty well. I don't actually, you know, I think I've mentioned this on the air. The only time I was actually slim was when I had the time and the energy and the youth to spend 2 hours a day at the gym. But that's what it took to be the weight that they tell you on the charts, which is totally wrong, by the way.
No. It's ridiculous. I mean, again, those charts, I've always, and I don't know whether this is correct policy, but I have found empirically that each body is different, and you have to listen to your own.
Yeah. All right,
you can use the bare bones, so to speak.
I think we may be over already. I don't know.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun.
All right. Well, everybody have a healthy 2024, if I haven't already said that.
You want to say happy Braising?
And braise something. It's very satisfying food, very comforting food, even without the carbohydrate, got to say.
Well, we are always comforted by your presence, and we thank you. There will be a braising quiz next time.
101.
It's okay. Thank you so much, Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, and we will talk to you soon.